That's okay. We're starting the Shatzer Deshmaya Shar HaAsiri, the 10th gate, Asiri HaKodesh, the 10th is holy. The Shar HaHavas Hashem, the gate of Havas Hashem, learning Hashem. HaHavas Hu Elohim HaShleimo. What is the complete loving Hashem? The Yecholet Kepsicha is going to open up for a preface to Shir HaProkim, the 7th chapter, Zer Pesach HaShem. Omer HaChav, said the author. As we already before in the previous words, the Shara Chishin, especially the ninth gate, he explained Bir Inin Afishus Mina Oilam. What does it mean to be separated from the world? And what was the intention? The Hoysa Kavan Asenu, the whole intention of the Tenesasiat Frisius abstentionism, Hoysa was Kavan Asenu, our intention was Liyachid Halev. To unify the heart in totality, and to bend him and to lean him only according to the love of Hashem, and only looking out for the Rotzon Hashem, for nothing else. So the precious was a preparation of dedicating the entire heart should only want and desire to Hashem. The easy, therefore, you abstain yourself from everything else. From everything else, and it has to become almost natural. It's not something which you have to fight. Precious means the final accomplishment. Precious is that you find yourself detached from the world, and naturally, like intuition in you. You have an intuition in you. We don't have. I just give an example. I don't have a radio at home. We don't have a radio. So last night. So people calling me, what's happening? Says President Bush is going to speak 9 o'clock soon, or so you're going to hear. So somebody else called in, and says, told to my wife, my daughter, said they hear in the radio, the President Bush is going to speak. And then he says, you know, I could put it on the phone, and they put it on the intercom phone, and they hear the radio over the phone of Bush is speaking. And I was looking him around, Netzach Yisroel, the Geula. I was looking the last program of Geula in Netzach Yisroel. This is how I was looking. I said, please, shut up the intercom. If you want to hear it, go ahead and hear it. I'm private on the phone. I talk to my wife and my daughter. If you want to hear it, go ahead and hear it. I didn't tell them not to hear it. I don't want to hear Bush talking to me now. Why not? I mean, everybody's up. Why not? So after I let him hear it, and then my daughter comes, okay, tells what he says. He says, why didn't you want to hear? My daughter, why didn't you want to hear? Just over the phone, I didn't want to hear what Bush has to say. So I told her, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want a nurse from Bas Parah, and the daughter of Parah. I said, why didn't you want a nurse from Bas Parah? He says, the mouth which is going to speak in the Kodesh Baruch Hu should drink from a goy. Should nurse from a goy? She didn't want to drink from a goy. He says, we hope Mashiach is going to come. What do you think Mashiach is going to say? He's going to speak Torah. You think the ear which heard President Bush speaking is going to so easily, clearly hear Mashiach speaking? We're going to hear, but there's going to be a certain fog. You think, keep clean your mind. Keep news, whatever to say, fine, I will hear it. I'm not disregarding, but at this moment, when the world is up, and the world is nishposhet, at the time of Kriyas Yamsov, when the Mitzvah were drowning, Bikshu Menachem Shor is playing Meshira, Menachem wanted to say Shira, the daily Shira which is saying, because the Baruch said, Masi Yorah Tovim B'yam, my people are drowning, Atam Olim Shira. Whatever it is, no question, but the Chodim Odom Shnevim B'Tzelem, the human beings, of course they got carried away, the Rosh, they have the stick. Paro is drowning in his field. Malachim came to Hashem, says, I'm hurt, I'm destroying my world now. Okay, it has to be. But there's no time of Shira, there's no time of lightheadedness. So when things is happening, war is happening, whatever is happening, either way, it's not a time of jubilation. No question, there's a big thing is happening. Hashem is here, all the tefillahs and all the things. And imagine that, so thousands of people, how many innocent people getting killed and suffering. It's happening. So it's not a time of... So when such a big things are happening, and your mind is again tuned in with other millions of people with a goy, you identify. I would just have an imagination that you're standing at Kriyas Yamsov, spring the sea, and at Mount Sinai, and have a radio broadcasting what's going on, or even have a television showing. We would hear them. I'm standing at Mount Sinai, I'm standing at Kriyas Yamsov, would I listen to the radio? What the radio has to is telling us what's going on at Kriyas Yamsov? Would I watch Kriyas Yamsov on the television? At a time where I asked the Shifcha Leom and I could see Hashem, when you have to be with yourself clear and pure with Hashem, identify yourself with the unbelievable momentum which is going on, or you disconnect yourself and even go to sleep, but don't be a part of the world, because it's two serious events are happening that you're part of the world. And this is that's the Prishna. The Prishna has to give a natural intuition into separating yourself from the world. You're not a part of the world. When such a big thing, you should never be a part of the world. But especially when Kodesh Baruch Hu himself now plays with the world, and such a big things are happening, and like thousands of people are tuned into the radio, but this comment, but you don't. So what's bad? What do you want to know? I will know. Nothing going to run away. I will know. You will know. How long does it take to know? For 10 hours, they grogger and grogger. You could go in 5 minutes. What happened? This and this and this and this. But for 10 hours, I didn't have to be a part of the world. In this, especially in this crucial time of the day, be with Hashem. See what's happening now. No? Feel it. Let your heart tremble in a Yiddish way, in a sensitive way. Not, of course, we're all trembling. We want to know what I remember. Not now, I remember 30, 35 years ago, it was an election day. I was a child and I was all wind up of this, you know, it was like President Eisenhower and Stevenson. I remember those days, that political days. I remember it was very much wind up in Yeshiva. And then it was election day, and a few group of Bokharim, to my luck, at that time I didn't understand good English. But they went up till 5 in the morning, keeping the counts, and all eyes. And said, what's this all about? You're going to hear tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, you're going to hear the bottom line. Why do you have to live? Why do you have to live? Besides this, never mind, there's nothing to do with that. Why do you have to live this excitement for? Why do we, you see, again, this is the emotional would be, just so you could see the Kriyas Yam Suf, you could watch it and feel it, observe it, the way Hashem is handling us, or you could watch it on TV and hear at the radio what's going on. I mean, the Knanim, all of this, they watch it on TV. You go watch them on TV too now. You're the star. We are the star. We are the star. The whole thing is, what's crucial, the if it is so, which I don't even know, that they didn't even went on offensive at all. Just lay flat. I mean, Iraq. That's the story. They still didn't fight back, and they just flattened the missile sites and everything. That's exactly what you wanted. There should be a war. Let them be wiped out. You shouldn't have anything anymore of the burden. But nothing should be changed. The soldiers shouldn't get involved. Okay? And Baruch Hashem, it's happening now. So you see, the things are happening. All of a sudden, you hooked in, you tuned in, like with all the millions of people, and sharing the excitement, the vibrations, the Goyish vibration of the Goyish excitement. Not the tefillah, not the Kodesh Baruch Hu's handling. And losing sight of the Maaseh Yodah Tov in the Yam, Atem Vakshem Lo Yemashira. That's even more. It hurts. It should. Yiddish heart should hurt even the thousands of Baghdadians getting killed. I mean, take a capital city getting killed. It's a Nekoma. Last was Nekoma Begoyim. A Nekoma. But the Nekoma has to be a Kiddush Hashem, not this human cruelty, this revenge. It's not our revenge. Last was Nekoma Begoyim. Kein Nekoma is Hashem. It's Nekoma of Kod Shemaim. It's not a Nekoma of this human Nekoma. It's not the revenge of a human. But when you tuned in and you hear again and again, and every for months we have been hopped up with all these things, and all of a sudden it's happening, we're giving the Zetzer. It's just like you're sitting in the Madison Square Garden and watching the arena, and I belong to this circus, it belongs to this boxer, this champion, my champion is giving it away, and everyone is excited, and you share in with this excitement. As far as me, as far as the Goy looks at it, as far as not Yiddish look, this is nothing more than a big arena in Madison Square Garden fighting big champions, and I'm a fan of this because in my country I'm a fan of this, and we get carried away with it. And Yid thinks totally differently. Yid, even by Kriyas Yam Suf, when what was, and I think, to see Hashem by Kriyas Yam Suf, everyone saw Hashem by Kriyas Yam Suf. Everyone saw it. The Goy saw Hashem by Kriyas Yam Suf. If Tehillim Kriyas Yam Suf was recorded on television, we saw Hashem. I mean, what could be a whole nation of a sea splitting, and the whole Amisrael goes through, and when the last Jew goes out, the last Egyptian comes in, and all Egyptians are drowned. Who doesn't see God? But we still say, we saw Hashem in entirety, with all clarity. We saw Kodesh Baruch Hu in three dimensions, functioning in the Mamat Har Sinai. We saw it with all clarity. How come the Goy didn't see it? The Goy saw the physical act, because it was obvious. But of him, there wasn't the Asa Odom Alayam, Rafa Shivcha, a Jewish Shivcha saw Kodesh Boko in its entirety. Now, the fact is the same, the pit the same, it was all public knowledge. How come the Gilui Elokus, the revelation of God, was only to the Jew and not to the Goy? The answer is the little tiny difference between the Goyish look and the Jewish look. What was seeing Hashem in Kriyas Yamsuf, that after everything what happened, after being Gevuros Mitzrayim, seeing Mitzrayim drowning, what are you jubilating for? What are you happy for? Feeling the tzad, feeling the sensitivity, people are drowning. Masa Yoda Tovi Biyoba Atavakshal Mashira. The Melochim were not sensitive to it. The Kodesh Baruch Hu stopped them of saying Shira. A Yid is Hecher a Malach. A Malach could only know and feel which Hashem sends him to feel. A Malach is an object. It's like a table, like a chair. And a chair could only do the function of a chair. A Malach is a function. It's an object. You have to say Shira. See, it doesn't separate. A Yid is a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Yid has to feel the Rotzen Hashem. A Jew feels the Rotzen Hashem. Now when there is such a gilui, such a revelation to us from Chazal, that even the Mitzrim are tovim b'yam, even the Mitzrim are drowning in sea, which are the biggest Hashem power himself, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm hurt. Because I would be better off if they wouldn't have done this, what they had done. I gave them free choice, whatever it is, it had to be done. But it's still, my creation is drowning in sea. I don't want to hear shit, I don't want to hear songs, I don't want to hear laughter, I don't want to have jubilation here. I don't want to have human revenge feelings here. You should have those are my creatures. I'm so felt it. So therefore they were standing and at Kriyas Yamsuf and they saw the event, they said Shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shira Hashem ki goy siso lecholom, Shira Hashem ki goy go, Kodesh Baruch Hu's covered, say Keli Vabe, everything was dedicated to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now what happened with the whole world? The whole world, suppose they watched the Kriyas Yamsuf on the television or on the radio, they got a total different feeling. They were either hurt because they identified themselves with the Mitzri, either they were intoxicated and jubilating because, you know, Hashem showed his muscle, and whatever it is. Because when there is the Goy misses the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Gilui Elokus and Kriyas Yamsuf. The same thing is in times of today. Absolutely the same thing is. Today is no different than Kriyas Yamsuf. In Kriyas Yamsuf, you could see Hashem. You see, Kodesh Baruch Hu answered the tefillahs, Kodesh Baruch Hu watched us, and we have to be afraid, what will be tomorrow? I think the worst could happen tomorrow. The worst. In Ruchnis Digitarium, the worst will happen tomorrow. But when all these feelings and all these experiences will spill out for absolutely for nothing, will go out for nothing, will come out, and nothing will come out of it. Why? Because all that has to happen now, that, imagine, Iraqians should make, they're going to be flat on their face, they're going to be erased. We're never going to be afraid of them anymore. So there's one stick less on Israel. And for some reason, let's say just Syria has to make peace with Israel, they give them like the Golan Heights, and they make certain peace, and they give Gaza to the Palestinians, all of a sudden there is peace. And then America is so overwhelmed with Israel because they're good boys, gives them a few billion dollars to build for all the Russian Jews to come again. All of a sudden, this is going to start flourishing, this is going to flourish. We know what will happen, the tourists will open up in Israel, they're going back to square one, as we were 23 years ago, in 1967. And says, when shall to go back to the square one? We needed all this muscle shock, we needed all these things, we needed tens of thousands of Arabs have to be killed. Masih tells them, what? Where is Mashiach? Mashiach was at those steps, we were talking, trying to build ourselves up. Where are we now? It's good. It better should happen this than, but this is, I remind myself, Mamash of this is a beautiful, there was a time in Poland, came out a decree, that's what the Maskilim, the Lightman movement had it done, they made out a decree on the all the Talmudists and all the yeshivas, that all the Jews have to learn Polish, have to learn the secular studies. It's like, unfortunately today this is natural, that you have to learn English and everything. But those days, take the Jews out, and everyone, the girls, they have to learn Polish. This was managed like a decree, like closing the yeshiva. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner had actually closed the yeshiva because of this. And the decree that they have to learn 1 hour, an hour and a half, they have to learn secular studies. It says, I don't need the yeshiva then. He calls the yeshiva. The Gvaldik was a famous known thing. So the Gvaldik Gzeir all the time, the Torah has to learn Polish, and I think the other things that the teachers, the Rebbeim, the educators, they have a diploma. It was like undermining the whole Yiddish Chinuch system. And so the terrible Gzeir. And then they sent a delegation to the educational minister, and finally they broke the Gzeir. They drew back the law, and okay, they go back to normality. You don't have to. And they came with a whole big, beautiful thing with the Chofetz Chaim. They came to Chaim, Baruch Hashem, the Kfir is over, we go back to, so Chaim kind of burst out in a big cry, started crying very bitterly. He said, what are you crying? We should be happy, Baruch Hashem, this story is off our head. So the Chofetz Chaim said, Abba Shuna Mashiach is going to come. Because this is the last thing which they could have done. Tigib and Mashiach, they have no right to touch our children and so. Abba Shuna, if this Gezeri comes out, that means they're taking away Torah from us. Most of the time, to liquidate Torah, this cannot be, this is the end of our Golus, now Mashiach will come. But now the Gezeri was taken back, to go back to normal life, says, go Mitzvah of Seder. You have to see that the big jubilation, the big happiness which is happening now, that the Iraqis is getting, they're getting their share and nothing touched Israel, what does it mean? Are we pushing further? Are we keep pushing for redemption? Are we keep pushing for Tefillah, for Geula, for Mashiach? Are we not ready to settle if everything goes back to normal and to Simcha? Are we keeping or not? Now, it's no way that you could keep pushing and be alert and ask further, Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't settle for this, if you tuned in to the world excitement, to the world, to the radio, hearing again, all of a sudden you're picking up Kriyas Yamsuf in a goyish feeling. And that's the opposite of precious means, which is, in order to become an Oyev Hashem, loving Hashem in a natural way, feeling Hashem in every given step, it can't be unless you accomplish what you learned the previous Perek, precious, you become totally separated from the world, naturally separated from the world. You can't, but it has to be in addition to you. Why not? Doesn't have to be blunders. It's not that you say you could hear radio, it's no question. You could hear radio, entitled to be curious, entitled to know on a day-to-day account. Question, what will it make out of you? It's going to make you're going to witness this beautiful event, or the crucial event, or the serious event. You're going to witness it with the feeling of a God. Yes, you're going to incorporate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nisim, fine. But it's still a Goyish. The excitement is going to be affected by the excitement of the world. Look, you see, there was excitement of the world. It wasn't the Jewish excitement. I think the Gilu Elokis, which they felt differently in Kriyas Yamsuf, they felt the Kodesh Baruch Hu's feeling from us, Yorah Tov V'Yom. Are we feeling it? Are we human? I mean, after all, there are millions of people there in danger. Let it be Arabs, doesn't mean that's Masa Yorah Tov V'Yom. They're enemies of us. Maybe the average simple person is not the enemy. The Mishagoyim. The Masa, is this an akoma, a personal revenge? Seeing blood and seeing them flat, then you become dehumanized. Or are you staying human, you hurt, because the Master Yoda told you it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's creature are being killed, they deserve it, but all this when the Koma Hashem, last is the Koma of a Goyim, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's cover, this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Shemal. And that's a very tiny, that's a very sensitive line. And if you haven't got a very refined feeling, and if you are attached and tuned into the media together with the God, you could no way obtain this feeling. It's poison. Hearing and eating and eating and hearing these experiences from the God, from radios and other things, automatically numbs you. It becomes like some insensitive to that. That's what I definitely... So therefore, we have crucial days. It may go as soon as how much people tell you, but just for our curiosity, yes, you should hear the news, get a bottom line. But to be sitting at the radio day and night listening, it's what's wrong. The wrong is you get a feeling of the God. You get a feeling of the. You're taking this beautiful time. As I said, as watching Kriyas Yamsuf on television, or hearing Mama Tarsina on radio. No, we don't see things. We don't hear things the way the God hears. The God sees. We hear and see things the way Hashem presented, and it could only be with very pure ears, pure eyes, pure interpretations, which comes to a totally different feeling interpretation. But unfortunately, there are very few people today who have clear minds. Because people don't even understand why not? So they're also fearing, they also have to read every newspaper, every news article, every war correspondent evaluation. They have to sit by the radio and hearing it. And then they come and then they build Torah on it. Beautiful. It's a whole mixture. It comes a clip of Snoiga. And then we lose our sensitivity. It's a very... So, in order to be Margish Ahavas Hashem, love Hashem, says, you need it before Frishus. Total abstentionism. Not to be at all a part of the world. Naturally be away from the world. It should be naturally rejected. You have to know, just like a person, who's a very refined person, has a very sensitive digestion system, and his manual food has to be very edel, very refined food. Now the more the person is edel, refined, is the slightest little spoiled food, he can't eat. Now it's a little bit spoiled, you mean it's the body rejects it. You don't feel it in taste. Now the other person is much thicker, you know, not as sensitive. He eats it, nothing is happening to the person. He eats it, and it's good, and it's very tasteful. But the person is purified, you're very, very sensitive, naturally you are rejecting it. You don't have to be told, don't eat, it's going to spoil you, because if you eat them and it's good for you, and your stomachs them, it's good for you. It's good for you. But the second person is very refined, he feels it a very little time, there's a little smell, a very little smell, and immediately it's rejective, repulsive, very repulsive. If I want to know if I'm a Ohev Hashem, if I love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to have a natural repulsiveness. That's not something that you're being told, it's not allowed. If you have to be explained aloud and not allowed, there's no reason why not allowed. Of course you are allowed. When you go to the first 3-4 chapters of Chavis of Ovis, according to that you are allowed. And you could hear the radio, why not? You want to know what's going on. You could hear the red lights on the newspaper. Halachically you are allowed. And to tell that, you know, it's not good, it's not bad, you don't feel it. Go ahead, eat it. Eat it. But when you want to reach, you want to be tuned into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to be Ohev Hashem, a real lover. You know what a real lover is? They say one of the tzaddikim, they say the Ohev Yisrael, it was called Ohev, the lover, the Jew lover. The Apterov was called, his sefer was called Ohev Yisrael. He said he overheard once two drunks talking. They were two dead drunk guys, they were talking to each other. The brother said, you love me? He said, of course I love you. He said, you really love me? He said, yes, I love you. He said, tell me, what does it hurt me? Tell me, do you know what hurts me? If something was hurting me. He says, well, I don't know, you have to tell me. He says, if you don't feel what it hurts me, you don't love me. You don't love me. So the Ivy Soul said, that's what I learned from these two drunks, what love means. Loving means that you don't have to say, you don't have to explain what it hurts. It's natural what it hurts. When it hurts you, I feel the hurt. If it's something, Ahavas Hashem means, loving Hashem means, that it's natural to feel the hurt of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's natural to feel the hurt of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hurt now. Of course, he would love to, Hashem says, Yidalach, if you would have said to him and everything was fine and good and well, nobody was threatening you, he would write some wealth as you did now, to bring Mashiach and to grow and grow, I could have bring you to Yeshua without the world being hurt. But you were bad, and that enticed this dog on you, and this dog came and made crazy tens of millions of people, and the whole world got up in arm, and look what the whole world is suffering. The oil prices and threatening. My creation, Masir HaTov V'Yom. It hurts the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want to say Shira? Now, if we love Hashem, we have to feel it. If you don't feel that sensitivity of Hashem, it shows you don't love Hashem. Now, why don't you love Hashem? Why can't you feel it? Because you're part of the world. You're not a Porush. You didn't abstain from the world. You're not separated from the world. Because you can't be tuned in, as we're going to say soon, into two loves. There's no two. Either you belong to the world, to human, and you have the human feelings of revenge and this and enemies and everything. Either you totally disconnect yourself from this human limited feelings, and you totally attach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that could only be through Krishna. That's what it says in the space. Our intention was to dedicate the Havli totally, lefanoisai, and to totally bring them, lahar sabayris borach, only to the love of Kodesh Baruch Hu, lichsov alivtsoinoi. With lichsov, and to yearn alivtsoinoi, to his desire, not to our desire. Therefore, after precious, when we already obtained the level of precious, the total abstentionism from the world, we made next to it the shahr of Ahavas Hashem, of loving Hashem. Ki hi ha tachlis hat chunois. V'sofa ma'alois v'madregas an shavoyde. What does he say here? Beautiful words. The end growth, here's a chair. The end accomplishment. The end accomplishment of everything is to reach this level of Ahavas Hashem. If you want to know, you know, many of us think, you know, take a businessman. What is the end goal in business? There's no limit, there's no end goal. Because there's a million, one's 10 million, one's 10 million, one's 20 million. What is the end goal? In Yiddishkeit, there's an end goal. The end goal is to reach Ahavas Hashem. Once you reach Ahavas Hashem, you become a part of Hashem. Now, why you must have an end goal? Because, you know, until you didn't reach the end goal, you didn't get nowhere. You didn't get nowhere. If I want to go to New York City, for me to go to New York City, I have to travel 25 miles to go down the Palisade and to pass the George Washington Bridge. And when I step the last step down from Washington Bridge to Washington Heights, I reach New York City. If my goal is to get to New York City, if I'm going to make the whole journey, but I'm not going to make the last step down, I didn't accomplish anything. What good is it? I didn't reach New York City. We have to, what's the end goal of Yiddishkeit? The end goal of Yiddishkeit is to reach a Ahavas Hashem, which he's going to explain here. That's the end goal. You don't even start settling before. What it says, Re'isi Lishma, Kihi Tachlis Hatchunois. This is the final end accomplishment of all accomplishments. With Seif HaMailas, the top level, the Madregos, and high levels, Anshavoid of people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Ahavas Hashem means, loving Hashem means, you feeling Hashem. The feelings of Hashem becomes a natural you feeling. So when Hashem is happy, you're happy. When Hashem is hurt, you are hurt. When Hashem is bothered, you are bothered. You become a natural extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down in this world. That's the final goal. And that's really, really, really accomplishing it to the highest level was the Oves HaKadosh Avraham Yitzchak ben Yaakov. They were Merkava L'Shechina. They became like an extension, like naturally they reacted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, that's what they felt. For all you man, I will say Belahim Ozer, and I will ask Hashem's help in this area. Royi locho ochi. It's appropriate for you, my brother, should tovin b'teida, you should understand it deeply. Ki kol ma shekodam lo milzichra b'sefer hazeh mochavi salvovas. Everything which you learned in the previous nine she'orim in mochavi salvovas. Ba'midos and all the characteristics, and benidvas and afoshas and all the dedication of our soul which you learned. All of them are ingredients which is necessary. Hen malos in madregois, they are malos and levels eleinian alien to the higher accomplishment as there, which we're talking actually is kavanah levar b'shayes, which we're going to explain here. Everything so far was nothing more than a means to a goal to accomplish what we're going to say now. That's the final goal: to become ahavei Hashem, to become lovers of Hashem, to feel Hashem in every sense. And everything so far was nothing more a means. We took the second, third steps as I wish I could there, I graduated there. That's my platoon. There's nothing so far, was nothing more than means than to coming. The Gamro Elochol Adas also you have to know. Ki kol choyve v'chol midot toivo. Every responsibility and every midot toivo, every good midot, umiskeles, which is understood, ksuvo, it's written, umikubeles, and it's given tradition. As we know, the Mechavis Avovas always explains every point. It dissolves every point in three levels. One is it's logical, miskelas. Second, it's said in the Torah. Third, it's said in the Torah Shabbatek, Mkubelas. Now, we have to know that all our responsibilities and good midas which we have to obtain to all three channels, and Chunais, Emala, Sha'olim, Behem, and Inyan, they all are nothing more than pipelines and steps which brings us to this final achievement which we're going to learn here to become Ahavei Hashem. Hu tachlison, this is the end goal of Soifon and the end of accomplishment. Em madrega lemala memeno, there's no higher level from that, nothing comes after that. When you reach the Ahavei Hashem, you know, you made it, there's nothing more that you could try for. You're home. You got home. Witness that therefore smocha novi olavar sholem, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had it bring close the mitzvah for Haftos Hashem Alokecho. Where does the mitzvah for Haftos Hashem come in the Torah? He brought it next to the Mishnah in Mishnah Torah in Dvorim LeYichud, to the mitzvah for unity of Hashem. But Amar when the pasuk says we have a mitzvah to unify Hashem three times a day. Shema Yisrael Hashem Alokein Hashem Echad. And right after when you unify Hashem Hashem Echad, you say the Haftos Hashem Alokecho, love Hashem. The mitzvah of loving Hashem is always connected. See, we don't say after Shema Hashem 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 Elkecho Tiro Fear Hashem, because fearing Hashem is not the end goal. Fearing Hashem is a mitzvah which a means to bring you to loving Hashem, because loving Hashem, that becomes the natural part. You become Chelek Hashem Amoy. A part of Hashem is the nation. We are becoming a part of Hashem, and that is only manifested when we feel Hashem out through love. And therefore, the greatest baruch min Yichud Hashem. Why after Havas Hashem comes after the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem? Yichud Hashem means Einot Milvado. This is Shema Yisrael understands you, Hashem. Hashem which is putting everything into existence. Everything puts into existence. Hashem which Mahavas Hakol. All of this is Elokeinu, is our Hashem. It's our God. Kodesh Baruch Hu through Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the entire world and everything which he maintains and makes it his existence, he made it all Elokeinu. He made them all ours. That we could tangibly feel it and we witness it, all becomes ours. Why did Hashem give it to us? Why did he got such a beautiful gift that the Mahavis Hakel, the all around Hashem, becomes exclusive ours in order to give it back to the world and to unify the whole world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to make Hashem Echad, in order to make Hashem one. When Mashiach will come, it's going to be oil and tickets, that day when Mashiach will come and the whole world will acknowledge Hashem, but how will it be manifested? I mean, Hashem Echad, Shmoy Echad. Hashem will be one and his name is going to be one. There's nobody going to be else. Einot Milvado. But who makes him Hashem Echad? Through we understanding and accepting that Hashem, the great Hashem, the overall Hashem, becomes Elokeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the means and the knowledge and the tools that we should deliver Hashem, becomes Elokeinu, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to Matan Torah, and we're going to give back this Hashem to the world, we're going to make him Hashem Echad. And that's what it is, we say quietly, so far quietly, because we didn't get there yet. It's a Boruch Shem Kavoid. Boruch, blessed should be, shame the name, void of the honor, malchus of his kingdom, le'olam vod, to the world of eternity. Olam vod means always eternity, le'al me'ad, to the world of eternity. That means to say that my accomplishment, as little as nobody I am, but I'm a Jew, and I'm a Kabbal Torah, I receive the Torah, and through Torah, Kabbalah, and Mitzvahs, in this physical world, in this material world, then I live like every other human being. And I bring this Hashem Elokeinu, the Hashem gave himself as a gift to me, to Mamat Har Sinai, and becomes my Hashem. And I have a schus to take this gift which I got and deliver it back to the world, to make Hashem Echad, to make to unify Hashem in every other area. And that accomplishment is not something which you accomplish, okay, big deal. No, this is going to become Le'olam Vod. That's the accomplishment for everlasting. That means I have an input and have a share in the everlasting world. Le'olam Vod. This is my accomplishment. When I see this and I hear it, perhaps all of a sudden you love Hashem. How can you not love Hashem? You got such an unbelievable gift. You became a partner in creation and you sharing the partnership is affecting the world for eternity. How can you complain about anything? You got the ultimate share in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. In other words, Hashem created the world, and the world in himself is totally not completed unless I deliver this Hashem which you gave yourself to me through Torah, and I deliver him back to the world. How can I not love Hashem? So now I understand why V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha comes right after Shari Yichud Hashem, because you must love Hashem. If you know who you are, what you are, this is one pshat. There's another pshat also, because by saying Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, and you're thinking, as the halacha, simple halacha is, that you're willing to dedicate and give up your life for any little thing. If anyone sends it a gun, it says just denying 1/1,000,000,000 of 1% of Hashem, of not you being killed. He says, you're ready to kill me. So you totally give yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you totally nullify yourself. So you get again totally attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that creates V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, loving of Hashem. But obviously we do see that after Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which that is the final tikkun, the final accomplishment of the world, then with what does it manifest himself in a natural way? In V'ahavta. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you love Hashem with all your heart, with all your possession, with all your yetzer. So you see, V'ahavta Hashem is the end goal, the final goal. There's nothing higher than that. So everything so far which you learned in the previous 9 chapters is only tools and means to bring you to the madrega of V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. In many times in Mishnah Torah, in Devarim, he repeated many times the necessity of Ahavas Hashem. Kama Shugunem Rav Pasuk says, L'Ahavas Hashem Elokecha. To love Hashem, you got Lishmoya Bekoyla, to listen to Skol Adavko Boy, in order to get attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not attached, to become a part of Hashem. To love, that's the glue of attachment. The Tamad Vika, and the reason, the feeling of being attached is Ahava and Amor, the absolute love, Valeva Sholemba, a complete heart with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Much never the apostle says, V'yesh Oyev, there is a lover, Dovek is more attached, more glued, Me'och than a brother. a Jew, a person who loves the second person, is more a part of the person, more attached to that person than a brother than two brothers. Because two brothers are biologically, they come from one place, but they're not as fully attached than a oyev, than a haver. And this is exactly what we have to also see in our times of today, when we see there's good reasons not to love Hashem, even good to us. Question is, again, is it the love, the way you pick it up on the radio? That's not going to bring you closer to Hashem.
Yes,
you're gonna like everyone. You're gonna talk about it, like everyone talks about it, or you're gonna feel the harvest Hashem to the point that because Hashem you were so good, now I'm undertaking. I'm gonna give a push forward. I'm cutting off myself from this and from this. We all have a list of things that you love to cut ourselves off. We all want to grow. We haven't got the strength to do it. We haven't got the strength to push on and to go further and further and further. But when there is great love, there is manifestation of great dedication, excitement. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, you were good to us. You helped us, and we pick him up in the tree because we feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you could accomplish everything. Now is the time to take on things. And therefore, as the Ramban says, Im te'irim te'ori sahava et shatechba. Im te'iri, you're going to be awakened. Im te'iri, when you're going to waken up as sahava, the love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's going to be awakeness of love. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of awakeness of love to Kodesh Baruch Hu. A lot of love. Shem saved the entire Jewish population in Israel, and nothing happened, and you know, and we were saved, and everything goes. Obviously, it brings out the Gevaldige Ahava. There's this Oral of Shal Ahava, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What should you do in order you should not lose it? You should not lose it. You should take this Ahava with you and feel it forever. Since the Ramban Atche Techpot. Techpot, make him a chepet, make him a vessel, make him a utensil where you should put in the Ahava and you should be able to keep it on. In other words, many times in our life, we have some certain height, we have a certain fear, we have a certain thing, and Hashem helped us the last moment. And we gain a gewaldig appreciation to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's a real genuine love. But then it evaporates, then it comes up. What you do? Sahava Achatech, what's make him a chayfet? What is a chayfet? Says the Ramban, take on a new thing. Take on, you're going to learn so much, so many more hours a day. Take on, I'm not going to do this and anymore. I'm taking on this chumra, I'm taking on. Hello, we're not talking sunus, not chumra. In order to make him a utensil in where to put in the Ahava and to preserve it, you have to conserve this Ahava to days when this thing is not going to be there anymore. It's going to come rough days again, it's going to come tough days again. But how can you take it out, the memory, and to remember, you know, he had such a terrible days and Hashem, how he helped you. So you should always have the reserve, this Ahava, to bring it out. So make him a chepetz, make him a utensil where you put him in. What's the chepetz? Make a commitment to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which until now we're not ready to make. So every time when you're going to practice this commitment, you're going to bring it up. Now, since the chepetz of Ovas is attaching Ahavas Hashem to Prishas, in order to, that's the achona, the preparation to be fully loving Hashem, to feeling Hashem, you need Prishas. And the more you feel the abstentionism from the world naturally, getting away from the world, more Oyev Hashem yet to come. It's a good advice to make this utensil, to make the keli, to preserve the Ahavas Hashem in the area of Prishas. And to say Tilim is also good, and doing Gim Tzedok is also good, Avad is good, Aseitah is very good. But the most way you're going to preserve Ahavas Hashem and feel it in the area of Prishas. When we take on now, willingly, voluntarily, a certain detachment from physical world, which we used to have till now, which is affecting us the most. So everyone knows his own weaknesses, what he has. Somebody is addicted to certain things, which is not even bad, but takes away your time, takes away your dedication. Take on Parishas, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But not doing this and not doing Sur Mirah, in that area, that's the biggest gula to maintain this Ahavas Hashem, it shouldn't evaporate. Many times, the Sefer brings the Zecher Yiras Hakim, it advances feeling Hashem before loving Hashem. What does Hashem want from you? Kim Lira, only fear. And then it says, Lahava, listen to love. Many times in the Torah, you see fear comes before love. And as we know, Yira comes before Ahava. Robert says, Hashem Alekecho Tiro, fear Hashem, you boy Sidbok, and then get attached to Ahava. Why is it so? It's proper justice that din should be advanced before Ahava. Because the final gira is the tachlis of prishas. Through fear, you accomplish the maximum of prishas. V'akroyde shumadregas, v'madregas havas elakim, this brings you closer to loving Hashem. Since the havas Hashem is the final goal, the final accomplishment, now yiras Hashem is one before, because through yiras, through fearing Hashem, you accomplish the most precious, because when you fear, you don't partake in the world, and the very evidence, the most precious, comes next to havas Hashem. V'hi sharo risha b'shoreyo. And this is the first gate of all the gates. The Yira is the first thing which you have to get. Reishis Chochmo, Yira Hashem. The first gate that you start working in the ladder of climbing to Avos Hashem, the first thing, Reishis Chochmo, the beginning of wisdom is Yira Hashem, fearing Hashem. And it's not possible a person should be able to get further to Avos Hashem. Only after when people will first advance the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, before Havas Hashem, we made the Shara Precious. The Precious is the manifestation of Yira. Kemuina Nimna Mimenu. So it's not possible without the Shetisiyashev HaHavas HaBeiru Belebeinu, that the Havas Hashem should settle in our heart. If there is also love to the world in us, it's a very important principle that the Chodesh Sohuna said. It's not possible that we should settle love of Hashem in our heart when there is still some other love to the world simultaneously. There's no two Ahavas existence. There's no two loves. Either in other area, in every area in your heart where you love something else, in that area you can't love Hashem. Famous story, it's another story that the Chofetz Chaim had a very beautiful son who passed away in his lifetime. Matter of fact, the son was a big Talmud Chacham, and the Chofetz Chaim made the first Chelek of Mishneh Berurah together with the first Arachan. He was working with him together, and when he passed away, it was maspidim, he was eulogizing him, and he said as follows. He said, there was once a widow which had only one son, and his only one son unfortunately got sick and he died, and the widow said to Kodesh Baruch as follows: Rebbeinu Shloim, I always loved you very, very, very much. But when I had a loving husband, a loving child, and when my husband died, it's called immaterial.
You're talking about the neshama here? The neshama automatically does it.
Yeah.
But the
nefesh. The nefesh with the lower part of the neshama. The neshama which is more in control of it, but even that. However, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu tied them into this material body, to the physical body, this thick body. Asher Otsar Nafsa Yisar Bo, he wants to test the nefesh, the soul, he wants to test him. How will he command his life? Will he command the life of the body, or will the body take control over the soul? Heir Oysar Lochus Olav. He wake him up. He woke up this nefesh, Lochus Olav. He should have mercy over the body, that he should bring all the worthy and the beneficiary things to him. In other words, the nefesh is not a selfish being, he only cares for himself. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu tied the nefesh into the body, so the nefesh is interested to bring the body also to himself. And the body should also use everything in this world for the benefit of the body, which is the benefit of the nefesh. Because of this partnership and the company, which Hashem made them between themselves, from the beginning of the growth. From the beginning of the growth, they were together, and for that purpose, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a partnership between the soul and the body, in order together they should complement each other and they should give growth to each other. And as the minute when the nefesh and the soul feeds from Hashem, but the Eretz Legufa, which there is a benefit for the body, with a konolik vi also, in a cure to the physical body, tita b'machshavta elav, automatically the nefesh will dent himself, which is intention, to that point, v'tichsefer, he would want it, because everything which is good for the body, is real good for the body, the nefesh wants to give for the body. K'dei levakesh ha'menucho, because he's looking for the peace, m'mad v'agufa, from the pain which the body causes, if you go off, in all the fact. Just like a person wants to have a good doctor, when he's sick, because he knows he's a lot of pain and he's sick and he could get deteriorated, and he knows there's a good doctor could fix him. so is also naturally the nefesh bringing the goof, the body, over anything which is beneficial. He will always make available for himself a doctor which is always going to serve him, is going to think about it. So is also the nefesh always worrying for the goof, because we have to know, this is a very important thing. Eventually our body, our goof, is going to be eternalized. It's a tchias amesim, the resurrection. Eventually our body and our goof is going to be transformed into a part of the nefesh. Now, actually it's a one-way possibility. In other words, we are composed of two opposites. We have a nefesh, a soul, and we have a body. And God made them as a partnership, living together. Now, the body will never make a body out of the nefesh. The neshama never going to become a body. It could never be destroyed because it's a lukus. The loss of the nefesh could only be if he couldn't accomplish anything with his body. He came down, he tortured himself for 89 years in this body, and when it comes the time to leave, he leaves empty-handed, tortured, affected and defected to a certain extent, which has to be purified in Zohar, and the body had not accomplished anything. In other words, the body can't affect the nefesh, but the nefesh could fully affect the body. The nefesh could fully transform the body, that eventually, if the body lets himself and it doesn't run away from what the nefesh is pulling him, doesn't go down to the world, rather they work together in harmony, and eventually the nefesh takes full possession of the body in the 70, 80 years, and they live according to what the neshama dictates the body, then eventually the body becomes transmitted, transformed into the nefesh, into the soul. Not now, and since didn't come in the Olam HaTikun to complete the world, so temporarily when they die, they separate, and the nefesh goes back to the Olam HaNeshama in the body, is temporarily deposited back into the earth where it's coming from, and dissolves and offers to us, she becomes back dust. But through becoming back dust, it's nothing more than a process of purification. Since this body can now and not be fully transformed, why? Because it has been affected by the chetah for the merishin, the sin of the merishin, which the poisonous of the clipper of the nochash has been put into the body, which is beyond our ability and capacity to transform into ruchanius at this moment. So therefore, as we die yet before the Olam HaTikun, the world spent, the Olam HaTikun will be the complete atonement, means Ruach HaTumah Avir Mina Ores, because Baruch Hu will totally cleanse out the Ruach HaTumah, that our body will be cleansed out from that Ruach HaTumah which today we cannot, then people will never die. They're just going to pick up the body and take it together into Olam HaNeshamos, into the world of soul, just like Eliyahu Novi did it, and Shua Balevi, those few people who went in direct to the Gren with the body. That's the way it would have been the process if what the Merishim would have sinned. Doesn't mean that people wouldn't leave this world. They would still leave the world. Everyone has only a certain amount of time to be in this world. Rather, but when it comes the time to leave the world, then we would take the body along with us, because we accomplished the mission of transforming the body into the soul. After other Merishim had sinned, he entered into the body in a certain element of tumor which becomes beyond our ability that we could cure. So that little beyond our capability, that has to be dissolved, and that is being dissolved in the process of burying in ground. That's the reason the Jewish custom of burial is that we don't preserve the body in a box, in a coffin. We put the dead body in a bottomless coffin. I mean, we don't know if it's against the law in the United States. So what they do when they pull down the body into the grave, they open up the bottom without seeing it, and they put up the bottom boards and put them on the side. And actually, the bottom of the dead person lays on the ground, because the more physical contact he has with the ground, the faster he decays and he gets eaten up, because that's the benefit of the body, the faster he dissolves. Because the flesh and blood, which is in the body, is affected yet with the tumor, with the zaham of the Nochash HaKadmoni. In Eretz Yisrael, the burial sites of people are usually in mountain sites, there's stones, because stones, there's a lot of acid, and it eats faster up the body, because the faster the body is eaten up, the faster it has been dissolved, then it becomes recycled into ready for a new process of a new body. It's one of the reasons why we all of us have to die for that effect. And only Tchias HaMeisim, at that time this body will be really purified. And that's the accomplishment of the nefesh over the body. So we have to know at very important times, which is a very good thing. Every time you look at your hand, okay, you see this hand? This hand is going to stay with you forever. Forever. You have to respect the hand. It's a chalik of the neshama. You don't see the neshama. You know that you have a neshama. You don't see it have a neshama. But you see your hand. If you have to respect your hand. It's a holy piece. This man is a holy person. Because this man will ever be. Temperate may dissolve, but therefore the Kvada Mesa, the Gvalda Gazak, we bury a person very respectfully. We calm his dead, and we wash him, we clean him. He's going to be, the way you put him in, the way he's going to come out, restructured and rebuilt and with all the things. There was a big, I don't know if he's still alive, a coin in Yerushalayim. I knew him very well. And he went to the dentist. The doctor wanted to pull a teeth. He didn't let himself pull a teeth. He says, I don't want to involve him. What if he's pulling a teeth? The guy gave him a teeth and he's a coin. And maybe Mashiach will come and he'll go to the Balmu. He didn't want to let himself pulling a teeth. We have great respect for our body because our body is not a physical body. Our body eventually is going to be a part of the soul. Now, every time when you give up anything in your body for the soul's sake, there's a confrontation. Your body wants something a body will need, but it's not really a need. It's not an excessive tithes. It's lost to something which doesn't give you anything. And the nefesh, the neshama comes and says, come on, be a polish. Don't feed your body for the sake of a body. You're just feeding your horse. You're feeding your death. And you give up of yourself. Every time when you give up something of yourself, you know, it's a kind of a sacrifice. That sacrifice immediately is conquering the other piece in that body into Tchiasa Meisim, into the resurrection. So to the extent that we play host today for our soul, to that extent our soul will play host to our body. Today it's a world of body and physics, and our soul in us is a foreigner, and we are hosts for them. Now when you have a guest, you could live according to the needs of the guest and give him for the guest what the guest wants, or totally ignore the guest and you go on living like you, and if the guest doesn't like it, just too bad, let it be tortured. Same thing, we have a guest in us. The guest in us is now our soul. Now, if you give up your lifestyle in order to affect to make a pleasurous stay for the soul in you, that means you don't give in, that extent he becomes indebted to you. When you die, in the world in the future, then it's going to be the world of the world of the souls, the places of the souls. What is body to do there? But also to you, you gave him 8 years to be a guest, and you gave it to him what he needs. Then we will be guests. He's going to give us what we are needing. Because you targish on the top line, to some of Gimel. Because you targish on nefesh beinyan sheyosif la'or ba'atzma koyach benafsha. When the nefesh, when the soul will feel that it's going to be added to him a light. The koyach. Anytime the nefesh will feel an additional, an added light, an added excitement, added power, titevim zimosa olav. Automatically, he will bend himself to this. He will try. In nature, he will all go fall better. But titevim b'machshav, he's going to reattach himself into his thoughts. V'savirei b'rayoneo, and he's going to bring him. He's always going to have it in front of his thought and conscious and his avil if he wants it because Sefesla desires it. This is the final accomplishment of the absolute pure love. It means something that you love, naturally you bend yourself to it, naturally you want it, naturally desire it. The Kim Shadavar came, since the thing is so, Vohoyo Kriya Gifrabi, the calls which is need for the body, there's a lot of calls to the body, it's needs, Almashemala Machsoida, which is filling the needs of the body, is many things, Masmirim. And it's continuous, Imashoy Sweetim, at all times. You know, here you're sleepy, here you're thirsty, here you're hungry, here you need money. The nefesh has a lot of, the body has a lot of needs and ongoing things. But always our nefesh, the nefesh can't always stand on top of him and it's violating what is good to you, what is not good to you. It doesn't have peace, and he hasn't got any peace and tranquility from the pain of the body. The soul becomes annoyed continuously from the needs of the body, and from those appropriate things which your body loves, which they unify themselves with things. Which this is the rescue thing at its place when he's going to be in peace. In other words, since the body has thousands and millions of needs and continuous needs, so comes out the nefesh is all the time annoyed and busy, that always you have to watch, is it good for you, is it not good for you? And just like imagine, you surround with five little children, and everyone needs something, and everyone runs, and everyone wants, and everyone begs, and you have to throw five children all day long, 24 hours a day, and everyone is pulling and schlepping their mommy, and you must have your eyes every second on every child, because he's a troublemaker, he's always running in a different direction, okay? So is our soul with our body. Our body is a little wild animal, always needs, always wants, always wants, everything, and the soul always has too much, is it good, is it not, you're going to get destroyed, and therefore you need an overall magnet. This is a Havas Hashem. When you accomplish in yourself a natural love to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and automatically the nefesh is gravitating, only thing which is good, which is the Dovid Ba'oira is Baruch Shema, to get a touch of light, that automatically becomes the common protector of this little physical wild body, which always holds millions of other things. You can't have attention, you can't be at all times, at all places, at all the time. However, when you have a Havas Hashem, when you gain this love to Hashem, then this is the ultimate protector. Because automatically, you can't go to something which is impulsive for Kodesh Baruch. You only go to something which gravitates. So Havas is a kind of a magnet, which is an overall protector that you can't get off the line. The Kavshir Bokalo, as soon as it's going to be, I would say the word Boka, it's going to be pierced, as soon as it's going to pierce through Orah Seichel, the light of the intellect. See, the man is an intellect, and the intellect, the understanding, is called light. And we have a thickness of materialism which doesn't let in the penetration of the light. But soon as you pierce through the thick layer of the physical stupidity, and you let it pierce through with the light of your seichel, with the light of your intellect, the golel gnus, and it's going to be obvious and reveal to you the shame ashenotzu olav. What this body was gravitating for, bavosa, which you wanted, which you loved, v'nimshecha oda v'riyaneyo, v'nimshecha oda v'rema'ashava atzolosa v'shnei amoinim, v'nimshecha oda v'riyaneyo, and you let yourself, your mind, go with your thoughts, ma'ashava atzolosa, you let away your body not to think the positive thing, not the stupid things, which if you would have think the positive, would be you rescuing v'shnei amoinim from both worlds. If you would really think what you have to think, you would be rescued from this world and the world to come. Toshif Mizeh, but when once you penetrate in, you let in the light of Seichel in you, and you push out all the Narishkat, all the spirity, automatic Toshif Mizeh, you're going to return from this stupid things. But Taniach Kol in Yonei El Avoy Rachoyne, and this way you're going to bring back and leave everything, all Yonei on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Achoyne, which is bestowing intellect to you. And you're always going to gravitate with your thoughts, levakesh ofnat zolosu, how to search always, how can you rescue yourself from oitzem, from the strength, mashanoik shabo, which is very hard for goydul mashanisa shabo, and the straightness and the strength that you've been continuously being tested, automatically you're going to be able to fight it back. For us, through this fighting, through this light of the seichel which you have in the love, tifrash mina oilam, you're going to naturally be able to separate yourself from the world, and we call tanigah from all the treasures that the world has to offer. The tivze hagufois, and the materialism, and the bodies will be disgusting for you, the chol tavosam, and all the desires of the bodies, with some chuzze. In other words, you're going to look at the world, and you're going to look at the world as filth, you're going to look at the world as garbage, and it's going to be disgusting, repulsive to you. Our oyev Hashem is the one, you know, there's two ways how to look at the world. You could go into Manhattan, you could go into Rockefeller Center, and you could say, you have to watch your eyes, you have to watch your feet, not to get caught up with the who, how, with the people, not to get... If you're only fearing Hashem with me, but your insight is really identifying yourself with the world, everything the world has to offer, but you fear you shouldn't sin, you fear you're being slapped away, you have to fight, you know, don't go, don't look and be involved, because the minute you stop watching, you immediately being pulled together with the people in there. But if you are loaded with the Havas Hashem, with loving Hashem, there's nothing but to watch you out there. It's naturally repulsive. You can't, even if you want to go down to them, you can't go to them. Whatever you see them, it's mamash repulsive to you, because it doesn't. Tivza gufis v'chol tavosam, you got embarrassed. Tivza, you're going to put a shame. All the gufis, all the materials, all the tivus, and everything which has to do with it. Ain't up itrapis l'rayas. If it's a rayas, it's not a rayas anymore. See, when a person says, I'm going to speak to a woman and you know, and I'm going to watch. I'm not going to pull. I'm just speaking to her. I haven't got anything bad in mind. And it's a woman, you look at her, you talk to her. You know, I'm allowed to talk business. But as long as this woman for you is a piece of a riot, it's a woman, the temptation is there. And you're going to say, I'm only talking to her. I'm only having a friendly talk with her. I don't have any bad intentions. Says the Gemara, and I pick up his life. There's no barrier you could touch her. There's no. But when you are loaded with Ahavas Hashem, with love Hashem, the woman is not a woman at all. The woman is an object, a simple object. It's not. It's no difference who you're talking. You're dealing with a car, you're dealing with a man, you're dealing with a donkey, you're dealing with this woman. The Gemara says one of the Amarim. When you were dancing, Chosun Kala, you pick the Kala up on the shoulder, dance with the Kala, just to dance with the Chosun. So he asked, I'm afraid of Yehudim? Or, aren't you afraid of you're taking a woman? He said, Mehzer, it's a Chava Kikar, it looks like the white goat, geese, like to me, those white geese. She's a person with a white wedding gown. I mean, it's a white geese, it's nothing, it's not an object. So, as long as this is an Arayas, it's a woman. There's nothing that could protect you. You have to stay away. You have to talk business only, don't look and don't watch it, nothing. Whatever friendly, just talk with women just for the sake of talking, no way. That's called Eilat Pitzah Pitzah. But for this Oyin Hashem, it's not a Raiz Bechla, it's not a woman Bechla. It's an regular object. Because for the Oyin Hashem, nothing the woman is not the woman, nothing is anything. He only sees, you see, when a person is madly in love, he doesn't see anything, only the object of his loving. That's all. Nafshi choylav avosecha, the same din nefesh. My soul, before the Shir Shirim, Nafshi, my soul, choylav avosecha, sick of your love. Why is he sick of love? You know, when a person is not real, a person is really absent-minded, a person is nishmit alam, and they say, the guy is sick. The guy is sick. What is the problem? That he's in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing on the world exists except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't love food. The Chazon Ish said, I never know when I have to eat. I never feel hunger. When they bring me food, I realize I have to eat. The car feels hunger. The car doesn't feel hunger, you know. It's an empty tank, you have to feed him gas. It's a tachilik, if you give him, put him in. No, if you want to use the car, you have to put in gas. He was so removed from his body, he was so immersed in a Ahavas Hashem, in a Ahavas Torah, that Ahava takes away the senses of a person, takes away the actual feeling of a person, that he never felt. The hunger physically was there, but for him, it's just like the car is there, it's an empty tank. But the car is a car, he don't feel a car, he didn't feel his body. He was so immersed in a Ahavas Hashem, in a Ahavas Torah, that there's nothing on the. It's another thing, the Chazon Ish was very much misamic. It was in 1948, when this was a shooting, the war, the independence war in Israel. And he was once davening, they were davening, and there was shooting all of a sudden. And like a shot came through to the Samaritan and went past. Peace through the east. And he was standing Shem and Ezra, and all the people went down flat on the floor. You have to go there and shooting. He didn't hear anything. He just didn't hear anything. So people thought that he said, but the middle of Shem and Ezra, like the Chazon Ish, like it doesn't want to be. I feel a nochash korech al araglav, even a snake comes, you know, you don't mask the middle of Shem and Ezra. He thought it's a gunner for the Chazon Ish. And maybe alochadig, this is alochadig. So they wanted to draw alocha from here. So the Chazon Ish after that, What happened? He was surprised. He says, well, I didn't hear anything. If he would appear, he had to go down on the floor. Even with Shem and Esther, he had to save his life. Even with Shem and Esther, it's not. But the Maaseh didn't hear. He's talking to Kodesh Baruch, he all the Maaseh, he doesn't hear anything. He does, all your senses are neutralized. You don't have anything. It's a natural, like a natural incline for it. Therefore, we poke, and not only we see the goofers of Al Kavos and Sonechla, the body will disgust, will despise all the pleasures and anything which has to do with the world. His eyes will open up. His vision will be totally purified. Menana sichlus from the cloud of the stupidity. Belohim ubeserosai in God and in his Torah. The takir emes min hasheker, and you will see the difference in emes and sheker. The golden of Neamitas Boyle Manuga is going to be revealed in the face of the truth of a Kodesh Baruch and the way he runs the world. As I would say today, I think mentioned yesterday, we mentioned it before. I have to repeat it myself again. People sit today tied to the radio. Okay? Listening what's going on. It's okay. You have to, people who never hear radio, I think one of my children, okay, took out some of my children, they got himself a little radio, and he did the radio. So what's wrong? What's wrong? First of all, it's pure curiosity. Pure curiosity, okay? Now, it's nothing. Now, what does curiosity do? Curiosity does two things. First of all, you're feeling your curiosity, it has no value whatsoever. Because here in the end, you call up, you get it in one sentence, in 1 minute, you get the last information. But you don't have to hear all the commentaries, or separated, all the. You live it along. I asked the question. You know, the Puerto Ricans have a, how do you call it, the chick fight? You know, the
cockfight.
Huh?
It's called cockfight.
Cockfight, okay. Can you watch a cockfight? Is the Jewish thing to watch a cockfight? Why not? It's Tzarbel Chaim. Tzarbel Chaim the Reiser. You take them to cocks, how you call them, right? And what are you doing? You're training them to kill each other, to bleed each other to pieces. It's Tzarbel Chaim the Reiser. So look at the world looks at it, and look at the way you look at it. Okay? Take a bullfight. A man used to put him in the arena, a man with a bull, either one what got killed, either the man or the things. Can you watch a bullfight? But look how many hundreds of thousands of Spanish are there. It's a whole sport. Okay? They love it. Right? So, can a Jew, anyone with a Torah viewpoint, can it watch? I mean, you can't watch killing a bull for no reason. You're just killing a bull is all. Never mind the man who gets killed. But this is what an animal and man loves. See, that's sport. Now, look at wrestling. Look at wrestling. Look at a boxing match. I take two people. And they're beating each other, you have hundreds of thousands of people getting excited over it. What does it mean? You look at the animal. The animal loves sadism, loves to tear somebody apart. The little animal, let's say, can we imagine a wildest imagination of Chofetz Chaim going to Madison Square Garden and watching a wrestling match? You can't imagine. But you could watch. You wouldn't want to be a wrestler. But a wrestling kid, so. Now, what does it mean? Why can't I watch? I remember when I was young, when the senior rabbi, I don't know which occasion it was, I remember the occasion, it was a certain place, and there was a television, and it was wrestling going on. And for me, the first time in my life, I saw people wrestling. I was young, about 20 years, 21 years old, and I watched, I mean, there's nothing wrong, there's no preachers there, there's nothing wrong. But since I was young, using your muscle, it was interesting. I never saw people with such a muscle. And I remember on the television, the arena, and I don't know where it was, Madison Square, but people, please, look at the cruelty, the brutality. I mean, and he gives them a zest, the guy gets knocked over and gets smitten, and people are jumping and jubilating. Are you playing the show? What's going on? Now, what's happening? Do you see the gewaltige difference between the Torah look? How can you see a man being beaten up? Is it Tzelem Elohim? Chol Vodu Shiva B'Tzelem. Okay? Now, you could understand why Kiddush HaSiru is Eretz Yisroel. HaSosho, Eretz Yisroel, a Yid. But never mind, it's not a Yid. Eretz is already out. It's America, and it's Hassan. By the way, the two people, they're two extremely proud people. Stalin Gavin. I didn't hear his words, but that's Bush. He hardly mentioned the name of Hashem. He's a big Balgaiver, personal Balgaiver. He's not talking Jewish, not talking Torah at all. So who's Chassam? He's a Balgaiver. He calls after his guy, whatever it is. What's going on today? It's one big Madison Square Garden. It's a big arena. And you see a million soldiers in one end, and other 600 soldiers in the other end, and they're out to kill each other. And when we are watching it, we are in with the news media, everything is like a sitting in Madison Square Garden, who and jumping along. You have your champion, they have their champion. And everyone is jubilating, everyone is jumping, the other one is jumping. That's what's happening today. Now, how does the Torah look at it? Now, there wasn't a bigger arena than this thing, than Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was also a big arena. A Kodesh Baruch Hu went and drowned a whole nation into the thing. And Amisov was affected by that nation. Those are our enemies. It was direct there. And what, as was mentioned yesterday, what was the Torah digger? How does the Torah look at this arena? The Torah looks at it. Big Shimon Achashur learned the Shiva. Malacha wanted to say Shiva. So to think that Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu responded. Master Yoda Tavim Bayam, my creatures are drowning in the sea, and you're saying Shira, you're jubilating, you're singing? What do you mean you're singing?
This is my creatures.
Yes, I'm drowning them. How come you're singing? Where is your happiness? Where is your enthusiasm? Where is your light? Where are you jumping? Where are you jumping? Master of the Yam. At the time of the Marvel War, when Hashem destroyed the world, it was destruction. What does Hashem say? What does the Torah say? You see, after Hashem Alibai, Kuzboko became sad in his heart. How is Kuzboko sad? He destroys his world. They deserve it. Kuzboko is the one who destroys it. But when there is destruction, there is sadness. Saddam is being turned over. Saddam, the worst people being over. Avraham Avin is praying for Saddam. Why is he praying for Saddam? He's really praying for Hashem. Because Kuzboko doesn't want the Rosha should die. He wanted to say to Yoshua that he should do tshuva. Rechoy should stay alive. But unfortunately, he doesn't do tshuva because Boko has to kill him. It hurts Hashem. So Avraham Avinu is the power for Saddam to avoid the pain of Hashem. Who is worse than Saddam? Who is worse than Dora Mabel? Who is worse than Kriyas Yamsuf? Do we feel it? We don't feel it at all, again. Because we lost, that's what it says. We lost our sensitivity. It's the goal is like play a mitzvah boyer when he goes. You're going to open up your eyes. You're going to have a pure vision. You're going to have a very pure taste, pure vision of what's going on for us. From the stupidity which is penetrating Belhim Betros in Gaza and Torah. It's a very goyish look. The Oyev Hashem, the one who's loving Hashem, is natural, could only feel what Hashem feels. Now, where is our sensitivity to Hashem's feeling in our times of today? When you're tuned in, day and night to the radio, you have to hear, and you get all of a sudden, it becomes like a layer of the Goyisha thing, and you lose the sensitivity of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You could say, that should be the first thing that you see when people are dying. Doesn't matter, let it be Arabs, our enemies. When they're dying, Masiyur Atavi Bayam. Why am I so set Shira in Kirtan? Because they didn't say Shira a minute for revenge. They didn't set Shira on the death of the thing. Or Shira la Shem ki goy go, Susurachum Yam. The Yarisos Mitzvah Meisav Sasayam. A soul always takes such events and makes great Hashem's name, makes a Kiddush Hashem out of it. We can come better close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every time the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes mishpat, makes judgment in the world, in this world, and the Rosh is being punished, Hashem's name becomes discouraged, becomes sanctified. Now there's a very tight line when, imagine there's a person, a big Rosh. Like a big Rosh, but you have nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him, we have never been affected. And everyone knows, like Israel would nothing be affected by Iraq, this Meshuggah and Tokyo, and then Hashem comes and beats the hell out of him and gives him. So, since you haven't got any personal pain from this person, so there's no more point of revenge, so you could take it, you know, this is a Kiddush Hashem, because Baruch Hu beats the Rosh, we should learn. But suppose that Rosh was the one who's beating you and giving you, and like, he was the Parah Mitzvah, your Mitzvah. And then Hashem comes and beats him. The question comes, there's a natural revenge feeling. Good for you. I want to see blood. It was very beautifully manifested right after the war in the Holocaust. Right after the liberation, how did the MSD Ge'elochi, the religious Jew, reacted? And how did, unfortunately, a secular Jew reacted? The secular Jew, when the Americans came, the Russians came in, they revenge in the Germans. They used to grab a German, they used to beat the hell out of him, and they saw the Russian colors, and you shoot him, they used to dig him, they used to torture him to death. And the religious couldn't touch him. They couldn't kill a fly. But for me to make an comment, it's revenge. Because you're missing, that's the Kriyas Yamsuf, that's the difficulty of Kriyas Yamsuf. Do you see Hashem's names being in his Kadosh? And you think Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name became sanctified? Or you say Shira because I see revenge in my enemy? Yisrael sees the Mitzvah is dead. My enemy who tortured me for 200 years is dead. What do you see here? Oh, your enemy is dead. Go step on him. Navir Hashem. You got fear of Navir Hashem Moshe Abdo Hashem. You draw this. It's a very, very fine line, especially in our times, middle of war now. Do we? And we're going to see Mitzvah Hashem Nitzchoinus. But will it be your bearing side, or will you see Mashiach? You're going to see Nitzchon, you're going to see victory, you're going to see Metz Hashem Kol Elisha Kikilo Roshan Tichla, they're going to be destroyed. But you may see the destruction of the Russia the way the American guy sees it, on the TV screen, on the radio interpretation, everything, as a good for him, it's a personal thing. Or will you see it Mashiach? You reveal the Kiddush Hashem, finally comes the time, Hashem does not let go, and it's a partial Mashiach, and we go further from Mashiach.
And to have this fine line, the five visions, to separate and find out, you can't if you tuned into the goy, you got interpretation of the goy. And it goes from mighty big extremes to see Kirsha. Imagine the secular, if there was such a thing as a secular Jew in Mitzrayim, there was Erev Rav, there was, okay? The Erev Rav also looked at the dead Mitzri, dead. He was happy, no? You killed my baby, you killed my this, you killed the this. He didn't see the Chelek HaKir Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hashem is being in his Kaddosh. So he didn't see the Kodesh Baruch. But when you see Kirish Hashem, the same thing is today, and that purity could only come, and this is you devoted 100% to the Havas Hashem towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when it comes such a crucial day as comes today, somebody asked me, so why can't you imagine, especially today on his radio, even more than anything, because here is the crucial point, is that how would you interpret things? What will make you jump? What will make you urge? What will make you think? It's a very fine line, very, very fine line. You look at them as a world arena, as Madison Square Garden, the whole world looks on, it's being interpreted as everything, and you're part of the spectators, everyone has his own champion. Or how you're watching Hashem is running the world, and see Kiddush Hashem in every step, in every moment. What do you say?
You're listening on a limited scale with
all of
Hashem.
The problem is not the listening. The problem, if you want to get pure black and white information, okay, if you get it, the frenzy. God, there's no frenzy, just listen to that part. But the commentary, the excitement, the confusion, blah, blah, blah. You have to, who talks to you? I wanted to impress my daughter yesterday. You know, I think, I don't know if you mentioned about the muscle test, yeah? You know, the muscle test, good and bad. Muscle test, there's such a thing, it shows on your physical body, it's reaction to good and reaction to bad, automatically. You know, like, so, yesterday, they heard yesterday when they started shooting on Yerushalayim. So somebody called out. So they put the radio on the telephone. The other party put the radio on the telephone. My wife, my daughter, and they put it on the speaker. And I was in the other room. She says, "Please take off the speaker and see it like that." And then I went out and I said to my daughter, "Come on, okay, you know what? Let me check your hand. Your hand is strong. Yes, put it on the speaker." The minute the speaker went down, she went weak. She took it off. She went strong. The minute the speaker was on, she heard the radio, she was weak. The minute she did it, she was strong. See? Hey, black and white. Black and white. I don't need anything else. She was so impressed. Like, there's no such thing. Well, you have to know what's going on. You can know what's going on. I call up somebody, you know, what's news, fine, goodbye. It's not the issue of hearing the news. What's the intention? Why is the radio there to begin with? The radio is there to let you know really the information. The radio is not for that. That's a means to further go. To hold you addicted, to sell you your commercial, and to bamboozle you in every other area. So they sell you news. News isn't the goal. You may think for you the news is the goal, but for them it's not the goal. For them, news is a means to sell commercials and to bamboozle you and to spoil you and to corrupt you. That's their intention. And not corrupt intention for corruption, but the more you become handicapped and corrupted, the more addictive you become to the radio, so the more listeners there are, the bigger prizes to get to the commercial. Okay? But how to get into the radio? You have to know the news. Who says you have to know the news to begin with? So actually, you're giving yourself, you're victimizing yourself to your own side. By volunteering yourself, here I'm available, you have to listen. You see, people are... because you're getting your minat sichlus, you get stupidities, and to get pure, to stay pure, you have to totally stay away. Now, obviously, even to get to this understanding, even to get to these feelings, even to get to the point of... nobody teaches you this thought. You're not going to hear from anyone this talk. Go ask 100 of people and even a Beim and even I met my son. He's coming, so I told him, "Do you listen to radio in the car?" I said, "Yeah, in the car." So he's a vision to Chosid. He said, "Asking why not?" So before I went into this explanation, so tell me, did you ever listen to radio? It's nice. So who's me? Why not? I think he's not interested. He's also being fed information. He's just as interested as you. Anyway, why not? So I said, but go ask the Rebbe, why not? The Rebbe wouldn't explain it to him the way. And then I gave him the whole lengthy explanation. Need something. Now, if we listen or not, it's already up to him. The man is young. Why don't we get the natural explanation? Because we're very far from it. We're very far from it because this is not my business. It's not my end goal of life. Because the Chodesh that you learn today, there's no two viewpoints. Either Ashkofas Sotere, either Ashkofas Sotere Masere. The Anschauung. How do you say in English? Anschauung. What's that? No, not country. Ashkofa. How do you call it English?
Viewpoint.
Viewpoint. The perception. That's a, I would say, There's no two perception in a person. A person lives with one perception. Either you perceive things the way the world perceives, either you perceive it to your body, either you perceive it to your neshama. And when you dovik takodesh baruch hu, your natural perception is a teretik. Your natural perception is a teretik perception, automatically. Therefore, elachayi. Now, if he asks the Rebbe, why does he not? He has a teretik perception, and he is repulsive to it. He wouldn't do it. Will he be able to express not necessarily? The fact that he can't explain doesn't mean he doesn't do it to the right thing. He doesn't. He has a natural perception of teretik. He has a teretik perception. It will not let into his body any worldly perception at all. The fact he can't explain it, that's possible. It's gefela. But one thing is definite. The one who has a worldly perception could never come to this explanation. Because, you know, you're totally bribed. You're subjected to the world's interpretation. And, of course, you can't figure out anything. Nobody can figure out anything.
Chris Johnson, the Kosh Baruch Hu thought the whole world knew about it. It wasn't radio, but Kosh Baruch Hu revealed to the world. And that's why Yisrael came. Yisrael heard it, and he came.
Same thing. I said the same thing. Imagine the Kriyas Yam Suf. Would you like to see the Kriyas Yam Suf witnessing on a TV monitor? We'd like to see it with your eyes. Imagine you're sending a Mama Tarsina. I want to know if Hashem and Kech was heard in the whole world. We'd like to hear it in the radio broadcast. They want to hear it. You want to call on Rahim Sakoyr. We see Hashem. Well, you see, it's big things that's happening in today's times, in today's world. Do you want to hear it through television, through radio, through the Goyish commentary? Or you want to have a clear vision, you want a clear interpretation of it, a clear hearing of Hashem himself.
Where do you get that?
Nothing. Through Torah. Only through Torah. You have a perception of Torah. You perceive everything your Torah perceives. So then you got black and white, simple information, and you interpret this information through my interpretation and do not let in the commentary interpretation. So somebody told me yesterday, when the Zaka said, oh, Israel is retaliating, now one of the commentators says, the whole world takes a new picture, now Syria comes into the war, and all of a sudden going to be this, and all of a sudden, you've been boozled with you, you've been panicking, you know, the whole world. He said, I haven't been discussing that, the whole world gets a new thing, you're getting carried away with the Goyish viewpoint. Instead of, now, what benefit do you have with it? Ooh, you get excited to go up and you can't sit still and you can't think with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I wouldn't say I could say to him. Sometimes you can't sit still and things are too heavy, you can just say, but then you are with Hashem, you're not even saying to him. But need tefillah, you're a piece of tefillah. David the Melech said, but I need tefillah, I'm a tefillah. Sometimes things are too overwhelming, and too dangerous, too things. You can't even verbalize, you just say it. I'm in your arm, I'm totally in your hands, and I can't even help. I'm one piece of tefillah, I'm one piece of asking. But if you want to be in the arm of Hashem, you can't listen to the radio. Hashem doesn't want a radio. You can't be hooked to the goy, but you want to be in the arms of Hashem. You want to be protected with Hashem, you know. Sometimes a child sees a big thing happening, doesn't want to see, runs under the apron of the mother and covers himself up with the mother, yeah? It gives him protection. We are in a situation now that it's so overwhelming, it's so threatening, it's so frightening that you can't even say tilim, you can't even say something. So you run on the apron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you come like, you're asking, just take around you, embracing, like, I need tilim, one piece of tilim. You don't even have to say a word. Your all emotion, all your feelings, all your behavior is with Hashem now. You can't be with Hashem when you listen to radio, period. You can't. No, you should find out. If it's affecting everything, you find out. And even what's going on there, you could find out because, you know, it's affecting the world, it's affecting us. See, fine, it's a big deal. So you got to find a few hours later, you got the bottom line, what's happening, how we're standing, and you ask Hashem further, you know. And when you hear that they were beating the hell out of them, and if you're going to hear 100,000 Iraqi soldiers died, what do you have to do? You're going to start jumping?
Never.
this guy's beaten up on the arena, Madison Square Garden. Yes, the others jump. The American joins, but Masi Yorek, Tavim Biyam, Atam Vakshon Lam Mishir. That's the fine line. If you are tuned into the Goyish and the Koma, you can't be in the Koma Hashem. That's the Shira. Melochim couldn't say Shira. Hashem didn't let him say Shira. Am Yisrael said Shira. Am Yisrael said Shira Hashem ki Shira Hashem ki goy go. They came in with Yimil Hashem.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.